Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. Today, we have a special guest, but before we get into the interview, I hope everyone is having a wonderful day. The weather is a bit chilly, but it seems like it's going to warm up throughout the week, and then another shower next week. For my guest, would you like to do a brief introduction?
Yeah, sure, Jeff. Hi, everyone. My name's Isaiah, and I'm a first-year art student at UBC. I'm super excited to be on the show with you, Jeff, to talk about all kinds of things. And I'm super excited to be talking with you, the viewer, just to like interact with the community and really grow some roots here at UBC.
Yeah, thank you for coming out. You know, it's as I mentioned before we are on air, it is difficult to get people to be on my show, especially since everyone has a different schedule. But it's great to have you on, and I hope to see you more often.
Yeah, I'm really hoping to come on here pretty often right now. I'm just so nervous, to be
honest.
No. Like, my heart's pounding. It might be because of the chocolate. I do really love chocolate. I had so much chocolate before this, but yeah. I'll get used to it. I'll get better. But I'm so excited to be on the show with you right now, Jeff.
No, you're doing a great job. Yeah,
thank you.
So the main concept of our interview today would be about the transition between high school and university, because that transition is a pretty big jump. So I want to discuss more about how that was for Isaiah and possibly how it was for me. We could dive deeper into our hobbies. You know, Isaiah mentioned that he is very into music and basketball, so we could do a brief discussion about that. And I do have a small game segment at the end prepared, so we'll get through that and wrap up the show. So let's start off with the first question. How was the transition with you from high school to UBC? I'm sure you've heard a lot of teachers, maybe some students that are older than you, saying that it's going to be a tough transition. There's going to be a lot of things that you aren't going to be able to kind of wrap your head around before you come to university. So how was it for you?
It was most certainly a shock. I was so grateful to have my brother, who's a fourth year student here, to help prepare me. And he certainly helped prepare me for a lot of things, but you're not really in it until you're in it. Like, once you're there, there's like things that you can't really be prepared for just through a conversation. And while I do think we talked about most things, I just think that the energy of a university lecture is so much more different than a high school class. Just like the energy of a high school class, maybe take like a socials class. I remember my socials 11, I had such a great teacher. He'd make a lot of good jokes, and we'd have so many discussions. And the discussions were the main part. I love discussions because we could go on forever, pretty much, just like take up most of the class time discussing these important concepts and like the main course material. And it would feel open, and it would feel like everyone was having their opinions heard, and everyone was having a good time. And I really loved it the most because I would talk the most. Like, I'm a bit of a yammerer. I'm a bit of a yapper. I like to yap quite a bit. But I would just love talking about all these different kinds of concepts, especially in classes like socials and English. But in university, you have like these big lecture halls of 500 people. I remember my first day in econ. I walked in. There was like 500 people. I was 5 to 10 minutes early. I'm like, okay, maybe I'll get one of the front row seats because there's not going to be like, because people are just going to be filing in right now. I had to get one of like the furthest back row seats because there was already so many people. And that was just like something I wasn't prepared for, just to see all these people and be like, okay, this is like, they're like, the teachers have to see us as statistics. They have to see us as like a lot less, like as they just see us as the sum of, they just see the class as the sum of its parts, because you can't be emotionally invested in 500 people. That would be way too much for anyone, really. But it's just like, I have a lot more respect for the professors that I have. I don't know about like every single professor, but the professors that I have, because they're able to kind of facilitate these classes with such a large amount of people and with maybe asking like a really wide range of questions, because they're able to kind of play this like little delicate dance of, okay, we have to get through this set of class material without messing up anything, because they're on such a tight schedule. But I just talked for so long.
No, that's good.
I'm just going off on a tangent.
That's good. No, that's good. See, when I have guests on, I'm sure a lot of people who do media work, who interview people, the most difficult thing is when the guests don't talk.
Yeah.
And so whenever I have guests that are, you know, enthusiastic and bring up different ideas and just continue on the conversation, that's the most fun for me as well. Mm-hmm. And it's just best for conversation flow. But as you mentioned, I felt the same exact thing too. Mm-hmm. You know, the environment that you are in high school, it's just totally different when you're in university. Mm-hmm. And it's a great thing when you're, it's a good thing for both. However, it's good to have that expectation of, okay, it's going to be different, so I'll have to learn how to adapt to, mm-hmm. to the new environment. And I was pretty scared, you know, when you're in an auditorium full of a couple hundred people, mm-hmm. and there's one person that's teaching the class, you start to feel that pressure and you just have to write down everything they say. And you're like, oh, how do I do this? You know, you don't find the time to ask questions. It's kind of weird, awkward, and all those different things. So my very first class was like yours, where mm-hmm. it's a couple hundred people, and I was just nervous out of my mind.
Yeah.
It's hard to adapt.
Yeah. Just to build off that quickly, it just feels like in university, there's no safety blanket. There's no safety net. Whereas high school, you have people actively caring about you and your education. Like if you're failing a class, maybe a counselor will pull you aside and be like, hey, I noticed you're struggling in this. Maybe is there anything we can do to help? But in university, it's really up to you. And you feel it. Like you could feel that, like if you don't do this, you could fail. You could have to go retake this class. Whereas like in high school, you feel like there's like this safety net that you have underneath of you.
Yeah, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And although that's a very scary thing to think that everything that you do in university, every result you get, every activity you participate in, every assignment you receive, it is all up to you and how you choose to approach that certain thing. And so, you know, at first it does seem very scared to be that independent, but you do realize that, you know, there are people out there to help you if you reach out, which I didn't realize when I was in my first year as well. And so it's really up to you on how open you're going to be and kind of escaping that comfort zone, because no one's going to come up to you and ask you if you're doing okay. Obviously, there are people that can do that, but most of the time, there's just too many people to give that attention if that were to happen. And so it's very important to reach out to the resources that are offered at your university or at your institution and take advantage of it and really see what there is to offer. Because there are a lot of things.
So many.
Yeah.
One thing for me, I'm taking Math 100C right now. And the biggest resource for me has been the Math Learning Center. It's open like Mondays to Fridays at like 12 to 5. And there's so many TAs always like buzzing around to like answer your questions. And that has been so helpful for me, because even though Math 100 is technically just a rehash of Calculus 12 from high school, which I did do good in, it feels so much more different. Because like it's just taking a high school class, but in the context of a university class, which has really just been, I think, the quintessential example of moving from high school to university. Because you have the same kind of course content, but it feels so strange and foreign just because of this new context.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that as well. It's so weird. I don't know if it's because when we're in high school, we're just continuously told that, oh, university is going to be different. The profs are not going to care about you. It's going to be so much harder. And so then you automatically build up this weird fear about, oh, university is just going to be so much more scarier. And when you go into university with that mindset, even if it's something that you're probably familiar with, it does feel foreign. And so then that experience can alter your way of viewing university. And it's important to kind of, you know, for the lack of better terms, chill. You're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine. So I guess you mentioned, you know, that was one of the hardest things, where, you know, class size, the environment's different. You know, the attention that you receive is significantly low in university. What would you say is something that you really enjoy about university? Or it could be specifically at UBC.
At UBC. I think the thing I enjoy the most at UBC is just how stunning the campus is. Like, I know, like anyone listening in has probably had, like, 1,000 people tell them, oh, it's such a beautiful campus, we're in the best part of Vancouver, yada, yada, yada. But really, it's, like, it's amazing. And, like, I've been someone who's grown up in Vancouver his entire life and whose family really enjoyed to go get outdoors and do a lot of different things and just see all that nature has to offer in Vancouver. And this is some of the best, really. And, like, it just makes you feel, like, slightly less depressed from going from, like, math to econ, you know?
No, that's... I feel that as well. I heard a lot, you know, UBC is one of the most beautiful campuses in Canada. It's great, a lot of nature, you know, the oceans there are... The beach, right? Is it the ocean?
Well, it is the ocean, yeah, but like, so, there's a beach too.
Yeah, you know what's funny though? It's my third year and I still haven't been to the beach.
You haven't?
Have you been to the beach?
I've been to the beach, but like not like in the like not during the school year, at least in like this last month. But I've been there before. But you haven't been to the beach at all? You've been here for 3 years.
I know.
Have you not been to the beach?
So the thing is, it's a funny story. So in my first year before school started, me and my brothers were like, you know what? Let's go to the beach. As we were going down, for some reason, we couldn't find it, or it was just so long. So we gave up halfway.
What?
And then after that, you know, 2.5 years later, I'm here sitting with you.
Okay, yeah.
So I probably would have to, you know,
visit. You should be to the beach before you graduate.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the campus is great. It gives you the opportunity to go out and have some fresh air. Since it's such a massive campus, you could literally just take a walk, you know, come out of class and just... view whatever is out here. You know, there's a lot of squirrels too, which was kind of weird.
No, it's fall. They're stacking up for winter right now, so they're out and active.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of funny. But yeah, no, UBC is undoubtedly one of the most beautiful campuses out there. Mm-hmm. Almost difficult to feel all of that beauty because it's so big.
It is
so
big.
I still probably haven't gone through, like, explored all of UBC yet. It's just a whole town almost.
It's like its whole own society.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It has, like, it's its own small city. Even, like, it could count as, like, if someone told you that, like, oh, you have, like, a country this small, like, the size of UBC and has this many people, it could be, like, a small Eastern European country.
No, it could, you know? Actually.
Yeah.
If it's that big.
Exactly. Like, I have cousins in this really small country called Liechtenstein, which is in between Switzerland and Austria. And there's like not that many people there. It could, like, UBC is genuinely bigger than it, with more people, bigger landmass.
Yeah.
I think. Don't check me on that. But it feels bigger.
No, it's massive. But speaking of UBC, when you were in high school, was UBC the school that you were anticipating on going to? Was there a specific reason why you wanted to attend UBC? How was that like for you?
UBC was definitely my number one option. And everyone was like, oh, you have to study hard if you want to go to UBC. And, like, I studied hard. I got good grades. But I never really thought as UBC is the end-all, be-all. Because, of course, there's other good schools. Mm-hmm. Like, whether, like, I have, like, Langara near me. I have, like, there's SFU. There's a bunch of other institutions that do a good job of, like, whatever they're specializing in. But I feel like UBC is the school for BC. And, like, I know a lot of people who didn't get into UBC, and I have to tell them, even though it is like it's like the school, it's not like the end of the world, really. And that's how I felt when I did. I applied to arts and to business. I didn't get into business. I was so frustrated with myself, but I had to say that isn't like the end all be all. I'm just happy I got into UBC, but there is so many other great options outside of UBC.
You know, that's a great point that you said is. That mindset of, you know, end all be all, it's a really great and healthy mindset. You know, I see a lot of students, including me, where all I could think about was getting into UBC. It's, you know, like you said, it's the school.
Yeah.
It's like the dream. Mm-hmm. And so not being able to get in or not getting accepted to the first, you know, your first choice program, it's a really tough thing to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you, what was something that you learned from that? You know, as you weren't able to get into your first program, how did you take that in? Was there anything that you learned from it? How was that process like for you?
What I learned is that you really have to roll with the punches, really. Like, I don't know if I'm using that phrase exactly right, but you have to accept that this is what life's giving you. These are the cards that you've been given, and you can either complain and cry about it, or you can move on and work hard and try to move on to better things. So, of course, when I did get that rejection letter from the UBC Business Program, I was pretty upset. But I'm saying to myself, I did everything in my power to give the best possible application to them. And if that's what they didn't want, then that's fine, because I'm going to be able to pursue my own path in arts or even still transfer into business. But it's really about keeping that mindset of always moving forward.
That's a very great mindset, you know. And I also want to tell this to all my audience as well. I'm sure Isaiah has the same thought, but don't beat yourself up about something that you weren't able to do. You probably did as much as you could. So learning how to accept that is also a very valuable skill that will probably benefit you during the long run as well, because you probably can't get everything that you want.
Yeah, it's really about adopting the mentality of just trying your hardest, doing your best, and being able to accept the fact after that. Because you've done everything you could. And that's really what helped me mentally get through that. So yeah.
Yeah, and like we said, the mindset that you have is going to change the way you perceive things in life, right? Whether it's school, whether it's whatever you're doing, it's going to change it. So having a healthy mindset is one of the most important things that you could ever do. And speaking of that, stress is a very big thing that, you know, not only UBC students, but university or college students are going to experience, whether it's in academia or it could be in extracurriculars. What are some things that you do to relieve your stress? Because that's a very important thing as well.
Well, there's two big things for me. There's basketball and there's sleep. And I feel like they're both equally important to me. Let's start off with basketball. I'm a huge basketball fan. I love watching basketball. I love playing basketball. And that's something I do because that's the only form of physical exercise I get outside of walking to classes. So it's really good to go. I love playing basketball outdoors, especially during the summer. Get fresh air, clear your head, get good physical exercise, and that's really good for lowering your stress levels. And also sleep, everyone who's listening to this are probably students, and every student knows that sleep is so important. It's like one of the most important things that you can do for your body is get a good night's sleep, really. Like, I like going to bed at, 11-ish, and I'll get up at, around 8. And I feel like that 9 hours of sleep, especially for someone who's, still growing, both as a person and physically, is so important for me. Because even though if I do feel a bit tired in my morning lectures, I'll know that, because I'm still growing, but also just being able to mentally recuperate yourself after maybe a day of hard work.
Yeah, no, your two things that you listed are very, very nice. Mm-hmm. Exercise is always a good thing. I just go lift weights. Mm-hmm. So then that's one of my ways of relieving stress. Mm-hmm. But sleep is something that I recently found out of how much of an impact it actually has in your performance. Mm-hmm. And I could tell now that sleeping 5 to 6 hours is not enough.
It's terrible.
And getting at least seven to eight.
Minimum seven.
Yeah.
For all you students out there, minimum.
Minimum seven. Yeah. And it really does play a role in how you function during the day.
Exactly.
And I feel that physically too. So I really try to prioritize sleep and get those hours in because, you know, what's the use if you can't focus when you're trying to study? It's like you have to get that sleep, right?
Yeah.
So those two things are a great thing to do to relieve stress. Mm-hmm. Were you always interested in basketball? When did that hobby kind of begin?
I was a big soccer kid, actually. I think it's because my parents found out it was a lot cheaper than the other sports. Because we wouldn't have to pay that much, and we would get like a full like 6 to 8 months of soccer practices, soccer games and whatever. But I was a really big soccer kid. I played lots of soccer. I played at a pretty competitive level as well. And that I think started the mentality of myself of just saying, I want to be fit and healthy for as long as I physically can, because getting out, being active is really good for you both mentally and physically. And then I started to grow a bit. And I remember in seventh grade, I had one of my friends from elementary school say, "Hey, Isaiah, come play basketball with us at the basketball court. And I played for 10-15 minutes, and everything changed. Like, it clicked with me so much more than soccer. And I'm like, I love soccer, but something else happened. I don't know. And then I think I just manifested it, but I grew. I'm 6'1 or 6'2 right now. So I manifested that height into myself. So now I play basketball. I play basketball, I think, a lot more than I played soccer, because soccer is something that when you practice, you usually practice in teams. But for basketball, I can go play at the park for like 3-4 hours by myself if I have the time.
Wow, that's a long time. 3-4 hours?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great. No, basketball is a what I found right is a it's a massive cardio session.
Especially crazy,
if you're playing a game. Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm just sweating all over. It's a lot of running, especially with soccer too.
Yeah.
But what was something that you liked more about basketball? Because it seems, I guess if you break it down, it's both a team sport, right? So the team aspect of it is pretty big and it's quite similar. Mm-hmm. But what was something that you think basketball clicked with you that soccer didn't?
There's two main things. One, I preferred the intensity a bit more.
Mm.
And second, it's more of a, you have to be able to master more skills if you want to be able to be competitive in basketball. So like, firstly, going off into intensity, like in soccer, I would play either like left wing, right wing, or left back, right back. And you would run a lot when you were near the ball or you'd have the ball or you're making a run. But about half of the game, you would just be kind of like sitting around.
Okay, I understand.
And it's not because you're being like a lazy player or anything. It's just the ball's on the other side of the field. And there's nothing you can do about that. So you're kind of waiting. So like it's an 11-on-11 game. There's 22 people. Not everyone can have the ball at once. But basketball, it's kind of it's in a lot smaller of a court and there's less people. So that really ups the intensity, ups the speed of the game. And that's something I enjoy a lot more because it's a lot of like high intensity, super fast action that you get. And then also just being able to have to master more skills. Like in soccer, if you're like a defender, all you have to really do is be good at defending. But in basketball, you're playing on both sides of the floor. You don't have to just go and get buckets, go play make, and you get rebounds or whatever. You also have to be able to play defense or else you're going to get subbed out. It's really about having a mastery on all sides of the ball, no matter what you're doing.
No, I agree with you on that. And personally, I would prefer basketball as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the beauty of basketball is that there are so many opportunities to score a point, and so mm-hmm. you never know who's going to win.
Exactly,
and I love that type of intensity as well. Because mm-hmm. for soccer, what, like max 3 goals maybe?
Maybe, yeah. Like, I don't want to rag on soccer too much.
No, yeah, no, I understand. But, you know, for me, I just want to see that, you know, missing a basket is not going to do much because there's going to be more opportunities for you. And so, you know, you've probably seen a lot of games with, you know, that 10 seconds
mm-hmm.
can shift the game.
Exactly, yeah.
So I love that aspect because you never know who's going to win.
Yeah,
you
like
know,
if you're up like 2-0 in soccer, you're not going to do anything with 10 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you
know, it's going to take you more than that just mm-hmm. to get from one court to the other.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, anything can happen. That's what I really love about it. Like, you can – it's just like – like it's hard to say that the game's out of reach for any one team. Even if you're losing by like 20 and that there's like, let's say like 5 or 6 minutes left, anything can still happen. And especially like if you're watching basketball, like even on like the NBA level, you have people that can like go down the court, hit a three, go clamp up defensively, hit another three, and then go clamp up, then go hit another three. And then it's like a 2-point game
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden. So like, it's just that unpredictability that really sells it for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that you got your brother into basketball.
I did, yeah, yeah. I was such a basketball rat as soon as I started playing that I'm like, I have to share this with my brother. And I'm super close with my brother, so I'm like, you have to start playing basketball. You have to start watching basketball. And well, he only plays when I play with him, but he loves watching basketball now. He's like a basketball super fan, really. But my problem with him is that he chooses whatever... I don't think he did it on purpose, but his favorite team is my team's rival team.
Oh, no.
It's not good. His favorite player is James Harden, so he'll just follow whatever team James Harden's playing for. And I'm a Raptors fan, so he's a Philly fan.
Okay.
And this, you don't watch, plenty of basketball, but that's no bueno.
Isn't James Harden the one with the beard?
Yeah, he's, they call him the beard, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I recognize him. Wasn't he in the... Forgive me if I'm wrong, but wasn't he in the Miami Heat?
No, he wasn't on the Heat. He was
Cleveland. Was it
Cleveland? No, that was LeBron.
Okay.
He played for Houston primarily. But
yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to say, I'm not scolding him, but wasn't he famous for not making free throw shots?
No, he was scolded for getting too many free throw shots.
Oh, interesting.
The way that he would play, especially in Houston, is that he memorized a rule book, like front to back. He knew like every single rule, basically, and he understood a lot better than other players. So what he would do, he was able to manipulate the ref's calls to get more free throws. And a lot of people ragged on him for that. But I actually kind of respect him for that because he's approaching the game from a different way and saying, how can I score the most amount of points? How can I get the most amount of buckets by understanding something, a different element of the game, better than other people? And while that did make like a worse watching experience, like if you're watching a game, you don't want to watch someone shoot like 20 free throws because that's not as exciting as getting like a 20 like buckets or whatever. But it was interesting, especially for people like NBA nerds who like looking at a bunch of stats, because it showed the possibility of what the NBA could look like if people approached it from a different direction.
Interesting. Wow. No, I actually admire him for doing that. I didn't know that he...
It's a hot topic, though. It's a hot topic.
Yeah, no, it seems like it is. But that's a very, very interesting approach to the game. And I've never heard any basketball player approach it that way. And that's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
You got your brother into the interest of basketball, and it seems like, you know, you guys are almost rival audience members. Where has it ever been a case where the opposite teams were doing the same game and you guys were on the couch and just watching?
Yeah, there was actually a playoff series. I think it was either 20. It was. I think last year. No, the year before last year. The Raptors were the 5 seed. Philly was the 4 seed, and it was pretty obvious. It was a playoff. And it was pretty obvious that the Phillies were the favorites, but I was still rooting for the Raptors. And Philly ended up winning in like 6 games. And that was like bragging rights for him pretty much the whole time. But they were the favorites anyways. I wasn't like too hopeful, but it was still exciting watching my team in the playoffs. But of course, I still have 2019, Kawhi Leonard, if you remember that name. He got the game seven game winning buzzer beater over Philly in 2019. So that was the only game winning game seven buzzer beater ever in the NBA to like completely eliminate them from contention. And that's when the Raptors won the championship back then. So I still have that over him, even though he wasn't too big of a Philly fan then because Harden wasn't playing. But I'm still happy about the 2019 championship. Like the Raptors could be terrible for the next 10 years and I'm like still like, hey, we won a championship, guys. It's okay.
No, you mentioned buzzer beaters, and you know, as a person who doesn't really watch a lot of basketball, I do sometimes come around those buzzer beating scenes. Was there anything crazy that you did when you were watching a game where, you know, let's say a buzzer beater, something insane, you know, something that you should celebrate, but anything crazy that you did during your celebration that you might, you know, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that?
I'm not the kind of guy to like go do some outrageous kind of stuff. I'll be like, I'll be happy. I'll take a lap around the house. I'll scream at the top of my lungs or something, especially if it's the Raptors. But I'm never the kind of guy to like go throw a chair out of the window.
Okay.
Or like, I'm like, whenever I play like video games, I'm not the kind of guy to throw the controller at the wall, because like I'm like, I gotta assess the situation. Do I really want to pay another $70 for a controller?
Yeah.
But like, I'll get excited, but I'm not gonna do anything off the wall, really.
That's good. No, that's a great response. You know, not trying to learn how to restrain your excitement. But let's look into that sibling relationship that you have. You said that you're very close with your brother. Was there anything in particular that you guys worked towards to maintain a healthy relationship with your brother? Or it could, you know, this could relate to just siblings in general.
Just like being able to communicate openly and freely. Whereas like a lot of sibling relationships, maybe one person will do something and the other person will kind of just like feel kind of irked or slighted by it and maybe kind of act out kind of passive aggressively. If one person's doing something that the other person doesn't really feel like they're too comfortable with or they don't like, we'll just straight up tell each other. And I feel like that kind of communication is what's really key for maintaining like this kind of healthy relationship. Yeah.
No, that's a very difficult thing to do though. Mm-hmm. You know, to be that open especially to the things that you're not happy with, because the more closer you are with someone, the more careful you are with how you say things.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to mess up the whole relationship for one small thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a small thing, but to address that and to show the emotion of dislike and disapproval, it can feel like you're hurting the relationship, but instead it's actually helping it. And so learning how to do that is a very important thing as well. You said that you're also very into music. Personally, I have a very, I don't want to say weird, but a very
eclectic,
unorganized music taste. Right? Okay, so I listen to anything here and there. I don't have a specific artist that I listen to, but I do prefer music that's not rap.
Not rap.
Not
okay.
rap.
That's your favorite genre, not rap?
That's not prefer. So I like, you know, like the old oldie kind of vibes, you know,
any specific,
the melody.
Like era? Any specific decade?
I loved Elton John.
Elton John, that's great, yeah.
You know, I love, there's this recent artist that I'm listening to. His name is Fulton Lee. And so he was stumbling upon my Instagram, and I really loved his Instagram shorts where he was singing a couple bits. So most of my playlist is made up of his songs. But what about you? What's your favorite genre?
Well, surprise, surprise, it might be rap.
I thought it too, actually. I was going to assume that it was rap.
Yeah, yeah. But right now, it's more of the experimental side of it, really, where I just, like, I'm in love with sampling, where, like, if for the people who don't know at home, it's just where you take a little snippet of another song, or just really anything, like anything, any sound. It could be like a clip from like a 70s cartoon, or it could be like the sound of like some paper rustling or whatever. And what a lot of the experimental hip-hop artists that I like, what they do is they take like at least like 20-30 samples, sometimes even more, and they'll kind of mix them together into kind of like this hodgepodge of sounds, to where they'll combine to make a completely like wild and new thing. Whereas, like, you hear all these sounds individually, and you're like, yeah, this shouldn't work. This shouldn't, like, this shouldn't become, like, one coherent song, but it somehow manages to. And I think that's what's something, that's something I've really been enamored in lately, just because it seems so, it's so unpredictable, but it comes together so nicely.
Would it be, like, a remix? Is that what you would call it, or is it?
I wouldn't call it a remix. Like, a remix would be, like, if you have a song and like maybe it's like a popular song, like if you take Despacito, that was like a popular Latin song, and Justin Bieber did a remix where he added his own verse onto a song. So it's like you're like taking a song and you're adding like another verse onto it from another artist, or you're just adding something else on top of it, whereas sampling is you're taking bits and pieces of other songs or just like really any sound and making that into a new song. So it's similar where in the sense that you're taking bits, like you're taking a bit from another song and using it in your own. But a remix is, actually, let me reiterate. Like a remix would be like adding your own verse onto a song, whereas sampling would be like taking a tiny bit of a song and adding it into yours.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I don't really know much about how that music production works, you know, and how that remix and sampling all works. It's very interesting, right? And I think it's also a very good hobby too, you know, listening to music and see what works and not. I feel like it's going to be a very fun thing. Yeah. I've always thought about, you know, music production and making music is a very, very fun thing to do. And you kind of have to have that intuition of like, okay, yeah, this works, this doesn't. But I guess moving back, I kind of want to know more about you when you were in high school. What would you say who you were back then? Like, what kind of student were you? What kind of person were you back then? How would you describe yourself?
You say back then, like I'm like living some sort of double life.
Yeah, yeah, like, no, I know.
I'm not too different. Like I've only been here for like a month and a bit.
Oh yeah, no, you know what? That's funny because I feel like whenever I talk to UBC students, I think about, oh yeah, way back then. But now that I'm, yeah, you're in your first year. You know, but I'm sure there's probably some changes. How were you like in high school? What were you like?
Some changes. I was definitely a very studious student. Like I'm sure a lot of UBC students can say that. But I did really care a lot about my grades and my marks. I'm like, okay, I got to do at least this good. I got to be at least in like this top percent of the class or whatever. And while I did achieve those goals, I also really loved, just like talking with people in my classes. Just like kind of like forming these relationships and bonds with these different people that you might normally not have the chance to. And one of the things that I was frustrated with in high school, well, it wasn't really the high school's fault. It's just you're able to just speaking to the mic. You're able to, like, I had like this class in like grade 10 for gym, and I met this really cool girl, and we were talking about a bunch of different stuff that we had like interest in. And then after that class ended, we barely saw each other again. And like, of course, I'm like, okay, it's on me and her. We should have like kept in communication a bit longer, like done other stuff to kind of continue that relationship. But you just get to meet so many different and cool people that it's hard to like just be able to create like long lasting and meaningful friendships with everyone you meet. But sorry, what was your question again?
It's okay. You basically answered it. You know, what it was like in high school. Mm-hmm. What were you like? Very studious. No, you answered it perfectly. I actually want to branch out into that. Was there any classes that you took that were very memorable that you would want to retake again in high school? Any moments in high school that you would, you know, go back and experience it one more time?
I'll give you one that I would like to retake and one that I wouldn't like to retake.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great, too.
One that I would really like to retake was Law 12.
I took that too.
I had the best law teacher. Shout out Mr. Lum if you're listening. Where we would learn, I feel like it's something where I learned so much in the class that I feel like I might actually use in real life. Like, I'm not planning on getting pulled over by the police, but if I do, Mr. Lum's got my back.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. Where we would talk about all these different kind of sections of the law and have different discussions. He would have like a bunch of different funny scenarios. With different people in the class, it'd be like, oh, if this person does this thing and this person has this reaction, can they press charges or yada, yada, yada. I'm not really selling it that well right now, but it was mainly the course content was cool, but the discussions were what really sold it, because I had a bunch of really great people in my class and we'd have a bunch of really funny and cool discussions. There was this girl behind me that never laughed at anything, and I made this joke in this discussion about something about bringing your emotional support cocaine on the airport, onto the plane, to get through TSA, and she laughed, and that was one of the proudest moments of my life, because she never laughed at anything. Wow. And then at the end of it, we got to do a mock trial.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
You guys go. Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you my story after you tell yours, but go ahead.
Sure. But we got to do a mock trial, and I'm like, okay, I kind of want to be a judge, because that was always something I've been kind of interested in. So the very first day. I'll backpedal a bit. So there was about five people in the panel of judges, and one person got to be a clerk, and one person got to be a Supreme Court justice, I think, or wow, a chair of the court, or whatever, like the head honcho judge. And they would switch around each day. So I got to be the, I think it was called head court justice, something like that. I got to be the head court justice the very first day, and I got to walk in, and they had to say, "All rise for honorable Court Justice Mr. Tony," or something, and they all had to rise, and I had to tell them to be seated, and I'm like, wow. I'm not much of a guy to go on a power trip, but that felt good.
I'm sure it did.
Just like kind of facilitating this different trial and getting to see all my other classmates get to put on their lawyer suits or their witness suits or whatever, and get through this case. It was just such a a core memory, especially for senior year for me.
I have no words. I
can't
believe.
I can feel the jealousy dripping off
of
your voice.
Yeah, no, I'm so jealous, because here's my story. When I was taking Law 12, COVID hit.
Oh, my God.
Every single thing, 90% of the course, no, 95% of the course were online. It was just awful. People didn't even come in the Zoom class. It was like me and a couple people, in a time like... It was not it. And I can't believe, let alone experience Law 12 in a normal class setting, but do a mock. I can't believe you did a mock trial. That's insane.
It was amazing.
Wow. I mean, when you say suits, were they actually wearing suits?
Yeah. Like, we didn't have to wear suits, but Mr. Lum was like, you should probably wear suits, you know, be nice and formal. So most of the class came in suits, except for the, except for the witnesses. But... I came in my suit. I had to wear my Supreme Court Justice robe over top of it when I was there, because he had his own robe that he gave to me. That was super cool. But everyone was wearing suits. It was nice and formal. I got to walk around school wearing a suit like I was like some kind of like lawyer ready to sue someone. And it was just so cool, because everyone knew there was a mock trial going on. So they'd be like, these are the big ballers, the big swingers doing their mock trial.
And that I felt so cool.
Yeah, it was so cool.
So did you only participate as a judge, or were you ever a lawyer?
No, so we just had to pick one role and stick with it. So it was me and four other people as a judge. So we had our own kind of judges team.
Uh-huh.
Where our assignment, other than to like facilitate the mock trial, was we had to write a charge to the jury as well as our verdict, and we had to write like quite a long thing explaining like how we got there and what different evidence we used and whether this evidence was important or not, or was it like unsubstantiated or something. So there was actually like quite a lot of actual work to go along with it, but it really made a lot of sense within the context of the class and what we'd been learning. So it wasn't that kind of thing where it's like, oh, I have to do this, or like, oh, I don't really want to do this. It's like where you're actually excited to write something or to learn something because you're like actively engaged in it.
Were there any prosecutors, or were there just lawyers? Lawyers versus lawyers.
I'm not exactly sure. It was just the Crown lawyers versus the defense lawyers. I'm pretty sure prosecutors and Crown are the same thing.
Okay.
I really don't remember too much. Mr. Lum, if you're listening again, don't be mad that I forgot some of your stuff, some of your course material. But I'm pretty sure the prosecutors are just the people, the lawyers who are just going against the defense.
Yeah.
So it would just be the prosecutors and the defense lawyer. So there's two sides for the lawyers. So like the four roles that you could sign up for was prosecutor, defense lawyer, witness, or judge.
Wow. No, that must have sounded like it was a blast.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah. And so what's the course that you wouldn't retake?
Pre-Calc 12.
Okay, no. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Give me an explanation.
Just, it was because of the teacher. Not that I'm saying the teacher is a bad person. She's one of the nicest people you will ever meet. If you just meet her on the street and like you have a conversation with her, she'd be like, this woman's a saint. She's like the nicest person you'll ever meet. She has so many crazy stories. She was like in the Russian Olympics for sharpshooting.
What?
And she was like a sniper in the Filipino Civil War.
Oh my
god. So she's
goodness.
Told us so many crazy stories. And she was and she had like so many crazy stories, so many crazy experiences to share, and she was so funny. It's just that her tests were terrible.
Okay.
Like they weren't bad tests, they were just really hard. And okay. I'm like, that might be a tiny bit on me, but the class average, you would hear from the students above, the year above, where you're just like, expect your mark to drop at least like 20% from pre-calc 11 to pre-calc 12.
Wow.
So it was so tough. I remember I got like a 64 on the final, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm like pissed about this. And I went around asking all the other people, and they're like, yeah, I got a 30, I got a 40, I got a 50. And there was like so many people failed the final, but everyone still passed. Or I think most people passed, I'm pretty sure. But even the smartest kid in the class, he didn't even get above an 80. He got like a 76 or something. But it was just such a tough class. I remember I'm talking to people now when I'm in Math 100, and we're like, oh yeah, I love pre-calc 12. It was so fun. It was so easy. So like that really goes to show, it can be all dependent on the teacher. Not like once again, I'm not saying this is like a bad person. I love her. She's a great person. It's just her course was hard.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Yeah. You know, sometimes the course material is difficult, and you know, a lot of teachers try their best, but sometimes it's really hard to wrap your head around that certain concept.
Yeah.
So
she was still a decent teacher. Mm. It's just her tests were really hard, and that was like the only B I ever got in high school.
Yeah. All right, so we are approaching the end of our time. So before we end off, I did get this little game. It's a pretty short game. So it's basically a would you rather, but I come up with all the would you rathers.
Okay, yeah.
And so whenever I have a guest on my show, I come up with a couple would you rather questions. And then, I mean, usually a discussion would come up after a couple of them. And so then we could end off with that.
Okay.
Or, I mean, the weather's amazing, so... Ooh. That's always good. Okay, so let's start off. So the first one. Oh, so to explain a quick instruction for how this goes is I will give you two options. Mm-hmm. All you need to do is pick one within a couple seconds.
Okay, it's quick fire.
No theory that you're going to think about in your head.
Okay.
Just bam.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Unlimited amount of Mariah Carey t-shirts or Michael Bublé?
Michael Bublé.
skydiving.
Do I get him, or is he like a cardboard cutout, or like do I have him for dinner? Okay, whatever. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh no. So it's basically T-shirts, Mariah Carey T-shirts, and Michael Bublé T-shirts.
Oh, it's not just Michael Bublé.
That would be amazing.
It would just. Do I have to keep him in like my basement? No. Do I have to feed him?
No, they're just T-shirt designs.
Okay. Well, fine. Still Michael Bublé. Actually, no. I'll change it to Mariah Carey. I'll sell a lot of it during Christmas.
Skydiving while eating a mango, or bungee jumping while solving a riddle. Keep in mind, though, you have to complete this challenge. If you don't, you have to do it again.
Skydiving while eating mango. I love mango.
All of the mango?
Mango, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll have all of it. I'll even peel it. I don't care.
Drink fish sauce or eat a durian fruit. Do you know what that is? Once a week.
Durian.
Have you tried one before?
I've had it once or twice. It's okay, but like you really have to dispose of it after it's done, or else it like smells terrible.
Okay. I've actually never tried a durian before, nor have I smelled it.
It's an acquired taste. I heard it smells like rotting bodies. Ugh. After, like if you leave it out,
that's not good.
I've only had it once or twice, but that's what I've heard.
All right. Be able to make a home in 1 hour or a computer within 5 minutes.
Home, especially in Vancouver.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Be the quickest millionaire.
Yes. Have the ability to not feel cold or hot.
Cold.
Cold? You don't like to be cold?
Not really. Like, I don't know, I'm just trying to answer as fast as I can.
Yeah? But no, like, for me, I sweat a lot, so I'd rather not feel hot.
But then, like, what about hot showers? Do you not take hot showers?
Okay, that's true. That's a good one. But I guess it goes on both ways. Rather have a full beard all the time or a mustache that appears 3 times a week?
Mustache. I don't know. I could style it. I don't know how I look with full facial hair. My facial hair grows so slowly. I wouldn't be fully, like, committed to, like, a beard. What if it just looks bad? I don't know.
Let's say it grows evenly. Would you still have one?
Evenly. No, I'd still take the mustache.
All right. Have night vision or be immune to extremely dense light.
What do you mean by?
So you can look at the sun and you won't need to squint.
Night vision.
Learn how to play an instrument within 40 hours or never need food again.
Instrument. Because, like, I love eating food. Eating food is the best.
Me too. Yeah. The amount of happiness I receive when I eat delicious foods is, I can't, I need that.
And I could be like my own one-man band.
Yeah, that's cool, yeah. Learn the lyrics of any song after you hear it once, or be able to remember as much information as you can that's been given to you within 10 minutes, but that information you'll forget in an hour.
Second one, information? Just for tests.
Yeah.
I love to sing in the shower. I would love to do that. just to like sing all the lyrics, because like it is a struggle. But just for tests, you know, you can't really pass up that second one.
Yeah. Last one, be in a whole season of your favorite show, or meet your favorite actor and have a 5-minute conversation with them.
First one, easy. Be in a season of my favorite show, which is like kind of hard to decide for me, but I would love to be in a season of Community. Oh, that's the best.
That is. I've actually watched a couple episodes of it. It's very funny.
Yeah, exactly. I would like kind of have to self-insert myself into Troy and Abed's relationship just because they're the best, and I would love to be. I would feel like I'd be a third wheel. They're so connected. Their chemistry is off the charts. I would feel like a third wheel, but I would just like to be like there for like as like a fly on the wall or something.
Yeah, no. I think that'd be a very interesting conversation for another episode.
Yeah.
You know, talking about shows and characters. Mm-hmm. That's something that I'm passionate about. But yeah, we are out of time. Thank you so much for coming on my show. I hope you had a lot of fun.
I had so much fun.
That's great. The weather, again, is clearing up. You know, there's a sun out, so I hope everyone gets a chance to go outside, enjoy the sun, and, you know, chill a bit. Like I said, midterms and assignments are coming up, so I hope everyone can kind of balance their school life with They're personal, so they don't get too overwhelmed. Good luck on everyone with your exams, assignments, whatever you have in front of you, and I hope for the best. Any last comments?
Just as a quick plug for my social medias, follow me on Just My Opinion Music Reviews on Instagram and TikTok if you want to hear me talk about like just my favorite albums.
Yes, please follow Isaiah. He seems like a very interesting person. So I'm the most interesting
out of everyone.
No, so I definitely would want to have you on my show again. Thank you again for coming out.
You're welcome.
I hope you have a wonderful day, and I will see you all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.